This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of The Zeoli Show. Do us a favor, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and tell your friends. Come on, I got kids to feed. College isn't going to pay for itself, you know? Thanks for listening.
Rich Zeoli Show Podcast.
The president outlines what I believe is a very reasonable compromise to reopen the government. Democrats say no right away, as do some on the right. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here as we're all in a deep freeze. Now, you know what's interesting is that we are in the midst of this government shutdown, and I keep hearing from commentators on the left talking about how hard it is for people to get by who are struggling without their paychecks, government workers without their paychecks. And, you know, honestly, I keep trying to not be a cold-hearted human being. I do every day. I try to say to myself, don't be a cold-hearted human being. But it's becoming increasingly difficult for me to have any sort of sympathy for these people when they're most likely Democrats and the Democratic Party is refusing to give in to the president on anything. It is very difficult for me to feel any ounce of sympathy. Truly. I mean, really, honestly. They invoke their kids and the kids can't eat and the kids don't have medicine. The kids don't have shoes and all the other stuff. First of all, it's a month without a paycheck. There's unemployment benefits that are available by the states. And tell them, call the Democrats and tell them to give into what the president's asking for. He laid out an incredibly reasonable offer on the table over the weekend, so much so that right away Ann Coulter ripped it as amnesty. It's not amnesty. Donald Trump wants to reopen the government. He's the president. He wants to reopen the government. And he's willing to give actual real people, the DACA people, actual real human beings who probably live every day wondering whether or not they're going to be deported, a chance to stay in the country for 3 years while they try to come up with a legislative solution. That's it. He didn't declare amnesty for them. You know, the other problem, too, that I have with some of the people on my side of the aisle, some of these hacks who are just trying to sell books to buy their box wine, is that they come out like emotional, hysterical people. Emotional, hysterical people. You know, comparing him to Jeb. Oh, he's giving amnesty out. He didn't give any amnesty out. He's not trying to give amnesty out. You know, I know that this is very heartbreaking to a lot of people who've decided that Donald Trump is nothing more than a totalitarian fascist dictator. He's not trying to legislate from the Oval Office. He's not declaring amnesty. He's not trying to do these things. He's really trying to work with the legislature. I know it's shocking. I don't want the president to declare a national emergency on the border wall. I've told you that. I've said that. I'm probably one of the few conservative hosts who feels that way, but I don't want him to do it. I like the fact that he's going through the legislature, as frustrating as that is. I also believe, politically speaking, the average American is looking at the Democrats right now as being nothing more than the stubborn donkeys that they are in their little logos. Jackasses, in other words. They're not budging on anything. So on the one hand, you've got people on the right who get hysterical and go, oh, he's giving out amnesty. And then you have the people on the left who nothing he offers them, they'll take. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know why? All right, here's why. And I've said this before, and I'm never wrong on these things. Democrats don't want to give up the DACA issue going into the 2020 campaign. And they do not want to take away one of their key talking points, which is that Donald Trump is going to deport everybody. Let's have a little bit of audio over the president from over the weekend, okay? And this is important to understand exactly what the president said and what the president didn't say, because I really don't like when people mischaracterize people, whether it's a kid in a MAGA hat or it's the president of the United States. Calm the hell down, put your wine glass down, and listen to what he's actually saying. This is the president now, starting with cut number six.
I am here today to break the logjam and provide Congress with a path forward to end the government shutdown and solve the crisis on the southern border. If we are successful in this effort, we will then have the best chance in a very long time at real bipartisan immigration reform. And it won't stop here. It will keep going until we do it all. The proposal I will outline today is based on, first and foremost, on input from our border agents and Homeland Security professionals, and professionals they are. They know what they're doing. It is a compassionate response to the ongoing tragedy on our southern border.
You know, the border officials, you notice that you're not finding a lot of border agents and other people who are coming out and saying, oh, no, we don't, the wall doesn't work. Nah, it doesn't work. Cut number seven.
To physically secure our border, the plan includes $5.7 billion for a strategic deployment of physical barriers or a wall. This is not a 2,000-mile concrete structure from sea to sea. These are steel barriers in high-priority locations. Much of the border is already protected by natural barriers such as mountains and water. We already have many miles of barrier, including 115 miles that we are currently building or under contract. It will be done quickly. Our request will add another 230 miles this year in the areas our border agents most urgently need. It will have an unbelievable impact. If we build a powerful and fully designed see-through steel barrier on our southern border, the crime rate and drug problem in our country would be quickly and greatly reduced. Some say it could be cut in half.
So then the president lays out a three-year extension of DACA, okay? And you know, when he does this, he's got a battle with a bunch of nuts around him who say to him, we can't give on anything. And you know, the problem here is that the president gets no credit from the left, and then he gets no credit from some people in his own party. And I imagine for him, it must be a very difficult place to be. But he understands what compromise is. Now, he's not offering amnesty here. Cut eight.
In order to build the trust and goodwill necessary to begin real immigration reform, there are two more elements to my plan. Number one is 3 years of legislative relief for 700,000 DACA recipients brought here unlawfully by their parents at a young age many years ago. This extension will give them access to work permits, social security numbers, and protection from deportation, most importantly. Secondly, our proposal provides a three-year extension of temporary protected status, or TPS. This means that 300,000 immigrants whose protected status is facing expiration will now have three more years of certainty so that Congress can work on a larger immigration deal, which everybody wants, Republicans and Democrats.
What is, my question is this, how is this not reasonable? Honestly, I tweeted out over the weekend, this is reasonable. The only reason why you'd be against this is if you are a Democrat hellbent on his destruction or Ann Coulter. Sure enough, she's angry as hell over this. But at this point, she's a caricature and she's still dead to Dawn anyway, so it's kind of irrelevant.
Yes.
But it's better when you say it.
She's dead to me.
There you go.
Until she apologizes. All she has to do is apologize for disrespecting Zioli and the show and our executive producer, Greg Stocker.
That's it. So we're not asking much.
It's an apology. In between Chardonnays.
The Franzia was strong on Saturday. but no, but this is the problem. You have Democrats hell-bent on his destruction, and they do not want to give him a win in anything. They don't want to take the issue away from them for this coming presidential election circus, which is going to be an absolute circus. And I, for one thing, what the president is outlining here makes a lot of sense. You give him the money for the wall. The government, the cost of the government shutdown, I heard today, has already exceeded with the $5.7 billion he wants for his wall anyway. So it's not about the money with the Democrats. They voted for the walls in the past. It's not about the wall. So what is it with them? It's politics. It is the fact that they continue to portray him as a caricature. And the idea that they can make a reasonable compromise with somebody like that would make their base go crazy. Because make no mistake about this. Their base, the kooky left fringe base, is controlling that party 100%. And every single Democrat who wants to run for president has to bow down at the altar of kook if they want to even have a chance now of winning the nomination. The president also explained now some of his reasoning on the numbers behind his immigration reform. Cut number 9.
Our plan includes the following. $800 million in urgent humanitarian assistance. $805 million for drug detection technology to help secure our ports of entry. An additional 2,750 border agents and law enforcement professionals. 75 new immigration judge teams to reduce the court backlog of, believe it or not, almost 900,000 cases.
All reasonable. What the hell are the Democrats waiting for? If people are suffering without their paychecks and their food and their kids don't have shoes and all the other nonsense we keep hearing about, well, then agree to this and reopen the government. I'm sorry, but I think Democrats are looking terrible. I really do. I really believe that. And part of the reason why I've said I don't want the president to declare a national emergency on the border wall is because I don't want them to be let off the hook. Not for a second. Not for a single second. I don't want the Democrats to be taken off the hook for a second, because I think the nation is looking at them as being the unreasonable donkeys that they are. Truly. Absolutely. But hey, the media is going to do what it does. Kamala Harris announced she's running for president today. And of course, the George Stephanopoulos and Robin Roberts, very tough questions on Good Morning America, as you can imagine. Unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, completely objective, as a Democrat runs for president. So be prepared here, kids, for some hard-hitting, really tough media questions. Take a listen.
If you win,
yes,
you're going to be commander-in-chief.
Yes.
What qualifies you to be commander-in-chief?
You love this country.
Do you like the boots that the military wears? I like boots. Would you?
If you win, you'll be commander-in-chief.
What would you like best about being commander-in-chief? Huh? Would you like the plane better? Or would you like having your own tank, like Michael Dukakis had, with the helmet? For the record, unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos was one of Dukakis' advisors, too.
He's so stupid.
It's so dumb. What qualifies you? In other words, allow me to give you the opportunity on national television to sell yourself. Go ahead. Allow me to let you tell millions of people why they should vote for you. Go ahead. I'll just sit back. I'll sit back here and work on some other things. I've got a knitting thing I'm working on, and I'm playing this Fortnite. I'm addicted to it. I can't stop.
It is addictive.
It's addictive. All right, go ahead.
If you win,
yes,
you're going to be commander-in-chief.
Yes.
What qualifies you to be commander-in-chief?
You love this country. You all country.
You love so this country.
You love this country. You also love your family. And for people who do not know, your mother was born in India.
Yes.
Your father was born in Jamaica.
That's
and they met when they were both involved in the civil rights movement.
That's exactly right.
In California at Berkeley.
That's
and in fact, your mother met Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes, she did.
Cannot be lost that you're making the announcement on this day. Is that important to you?
It is very important to me.
President Trump has already said he wants to run again in 2020. You sit on the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee. You've been looking at the Russia investigation.
Right.
Have you seen any evidence that President Trump has committed an impeachable offense?
We've been listening when out of the book tour, and I'm sure the Americans are coming up and they're letting you know what is most important to them. What are you hearing from them?
Is this a hard-hitting interview?
Basically true.
It is. Basically true. A very hard-hitting interview of Kamala Harris, Democrat candidate for president. Count Grandstangelo was grandstanding, of course, today, and Bernie was yelling that Trump's a racist. Kooky, man. And they had this weird sort of bro hug, but, you know, it's obvious neither one of them like each other very much, and they didn't really want to be there hugging each other, and it was weird. Booker's there, not wearing a jacket. Bernie looks like he just led a dog sled from the North Pole. I kid you not. He's kind of like this big, it looks like a big L.L. Bean puffy jacket. Like you could push him and he'd fall down.
So, his wild hair. Right?
Yeah, his wild hair, though, blowing in the wind. I'm freezing my ass off out here. That's when he yelled the president was a racist. So he was very cold. He was very cold. But he doesn't like the cold, Bernie.
No.
You know, he gets very upset. And then he got into the car. His coffee was frozen. He was very mad at that. It's like a slushy. So I mentioned over the weekend that all this media bias, a couple of other clips for you, by the way. Speaking of George Stephanopoulos, ABC and Good Morning America admitted that they rushed to judgment on the Catholic teens and the viral video. They're realizing this now. And in this clip, we're going to hear unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, ABC's Cecilia Vega, and a number of other hard-hitting journalists, including, let's see, who else is in here now? Brianna Golodriga, Gail King, and others. Go ahead, take a listen.
After the first video surfaced, guys, the school quickly condemned the conduct of these boys, promising an investigation, even disciplinary action against them, up to expulsion if necessary.
This is such a cautionary tale. I saw that first image on Saturday morning, and it seemed absolutely outrageous.
Seemed clear.
But it shows what you can do with editing footage, just single images.
Right.
This was a much, much more complicated
story. And let me just say, George Stephanopoulos knows about editing things. Like audio tapes of women making accusations against his candidate.
Oops.
It's amazing what you can do with technology. Like when they leave a voicemail on Governor Clinton's phone and you're able to, you know, tweak that. Unbiased journalist. All right, go ahead, please.
I saw that first image on Saturday morning, and it seemed absolutely outrageous.
Seemed clear.
But it shows what you can do with editing footage, just single images.
Right.
This was a much, much more complicated story, and it appears at least that this young man was trying to do the right thing in some measure. Maybe he didn't do it perfectly, but trying.
Yeah, there was definitely a rush to judgment by a lot of people, and I think it's a teachable moment in our country and about the fact that this country is so polarized.
It was a very lengthy video.
Yes,
didn't you say
hour and 45 minutes I watched.
So it's hard just to take a snippet from it.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Hard to take a snippet. We did it anyway, though.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of excuses, doesn't it? Instead of saying, hey, we should have been more careful and we apologize.
No, a teachable moment. Yeah. Let's use this as a moment to recognize how technology works.
It's not even technology, because if you're the so-called journalist, then you say this reportedly happened, this snippet of video out of 2 hours purportedly. You can use those words and qualify things and say they claim. But in that clip that you aired earlier, that Greg aired earlier, they come out and there's no reportedlies or allegedlies or anything. It's just they condemned.
And then when they see the whole video, they go, imagine that. There was more to the video.
Sorry. Oops.
Wow.
Others rushed to judgment.
Yeah.
It was irresponsible.
We played 8 seconds, but it's an hour and 45 minutes. Oh, Oh, teachable moment. Yeah, teachable moment. Yeah.
Yeah, in court when your lawyers don't even go to court and they pay for his college.
Yeah, that kid's getting college for free.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. Smart kid, too. He put out a statement today. I retweeted it. It's a very long statement. Nick Sandman. But he also says that at no point did he ever hear any chance of students saying build the wall or anything like that. And they were called racist, bigots, white crackers, incest kids, the F word for gay people. Well, we have a little bit of this from this is now the 4 black Israelites in D.C. I haven't heard them mentioned on any of the mainstream media shows. Isn't that interesting? I have not heard them mentioned.
Adult men.
They're the biggest. Honestly, they're the biggest part of this.
Right.
The biggest part of this video is them shouting at people, and they're not mentioned once.
Not one time.
No.
It's like they're not even there. It's amazing to me how these guys have managed to avoid any...
Yep.
It's not really amazing, but it's just amazing how these guys have managed to avoid being mentioned at all in any of the stories. At all. Not even once.
If you watch that hour and 45 minute video, they're in an hour and 40 minutes of it.
Yeah, Greg watched it. He watched the entire thing. Greg did what nobody in the national media did over the weekend. Watched the entire video. So these guys are in how much of it?
They're in the entire thing, but the kids and the indigenous people are really only in not even like probably not even 7 minutes of it.
The sacred indigenous peoples at their sacred indigenous people ceremony. All right, take a listen to the tolerance of the black Israelites.
Destroy what America produced. This is what America meant by make America great again. This is what Donald Trump produced. This is a bunch of future school shooters.
That's right.
Nothing but a bunch of future school shooters.
That's right.
Let's make America great again. A bunch of child molesters.
That's right.
Just like your damn Donald Trump.
That's right.
If you Google, go on YouTube, and you see your president kissing Giuliani when Giuliani dressed like a drag queen.
That's right.
A damn.
That's right.
That's all he is. A bunch of pedophiles.
That's right.
You want to talk about R. Kelly? Why we don't talk about the Catholic Church?
Right.
Can we get the That's Right guy on the show? That guy, all he does is stand there and go, that's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. This is the guy from Coming to America. Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
I want to get that guy on the show.
I think after every point you make, I need to drop it.
That's right.
My computer.
That guy's the greatest co-host in the history of radio. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
The president is offering a reasonable compromise.
That's right.
Of course, it would help if our computer didn't suck.
Oh, my God.
All right. Now, let's
see. Right.
That's right. That's right. So we also did over the weekend, you know, Dawn, I had the kids over the weekend, and we watched a lot of Super Friends. I started the show by talking about this today. Super Friends was a show in the 1970s and 80s, which we grew up with, and it was Superman, Batman, the Hall of Justice. We have it here. Take a listen.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman. Wonder Woman. Batman. Aquaman. And those three junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog.
The Wonder Dog was in this one, huh?
Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Humankind, please.
Uh-oh.
So early on in the show, Dawn, they had an episode of a 50-foot woman. And I'm telling you, as I watch this, because I can't just, like a normal person, watch TV anymore. Everything to me is propaganda, everywhere I look. Hillary Clinton is featured in Super Friends Season 2, Episode 4, I think it is. 50-foot woman, and I'm telling you, she looks like her.
It's amazing.
And she is a giant 50-foot woman,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
With the hairdo, and the same hair, everything.
And the laugh.
The purple pantsuit and the laugh, yes. So this is a piece of what we have here.
So, women are the weaker sex.
Yeah. Now, let's compare that with this is. That's Hillary's laugh. Now, imagine I'm sitting there with Patrick and I'm watching Super Friends and I'm drinking my coffee and it's in the morning. He's eating his cereal out of the bowl. And all of a sudden, I see this and I go, oh my God! Hillary Clinton was in the Super Friends show as a giant 50-foot woman proving that women are as strong as men. And then she proceeds to destroy all of Gotham and Metropolis. Crazy. 50-foot woman, Dawn.
That's weird.
The blonde hair, the pantsuit.
Did you think you were a little delusional because you didn't get much sleep and maybe?
At first I did.
You know?
And I was like, this can't be right. And then the end of it, you didn't get the end by chance, did you? When they returned her to normal height and she gives her a little lecture about women and sexual equality and all that. Did you get that by chance?
Hang on. We're trying to find out which one.
The 70s or the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the late 70s, early 80s.
The final lessons?
Yeah, the final lessons.
Later, at Professor Zahn's desert laboratory.
I'm truly sorry for all of the trouble I've caused you, Super Friends.
Fortunately, the only damage done was to your own lab.
I guess I've learned that physical strength is not the measure of equality. It's strength of character that's important.
Right. Besides, at 50 feet tall, you wouldn't be able to find anything in your dress size.
So
weird. That's weird.
It's everywhere. That is amazing.
It's
to me.
Crazy.
This is what we grew up on.
Yes. Honestly, when you said that and then I saw the picture and hear the laugh, it's like it's dead on. It's dead on.
And she's a professor who's trying to prove that women are as men by making herself 50 feet tall to take over everything. And the experiment goes horribly wrong. And
oh,
which would have been like if she became president. It would have gone horribly wrong. Now, the media had a terrible, terrible weekend being exposed as the frauds that they are. Started with BuzzFeed on Friday. And I told you on Friday, I said, I have a lot of doubts about this story. This was the big story that President Trump directed Michael Cohen to perjure himself before Congress, which is a federal offense. And, you know, just so you know, that kind of thing would be very bad for a president to do. And every Democrat came out and said over and over and over again, well, if this is true, if this is true. And the network spent hours on this on Friday. I went through some of the numbers on that earlier in the show. The Media Research Center compiled it. They spent so much time on this BuzzFeed report. Then at about 8 o'clock at night, the special counsel's office, Robert Mueller, issues a statement saying that this is not accurate. The story's not accurate. Now, what a lot of people are doing is they're trying to parse the words of the special counsel's statement to say, well, maybe it's actually really he's telling the truth and blah, 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 blah. No, the special counsel has never, ever commented on a news story before. Ever. They commented on this one to say it's not accurate. It's a gigantic explosion for BuzzFeed. Their credibility shot. Not that they have ever had any. I mean, this is the Jason Leopold, the guy who one of them said, I think it was him, he gets the same high from tracking down a story or something as he did to snorting cocaine. One of those guys made the comment about that. BuzzFeed reporter Jason Leopold, along with Anthony Cormier, broke the now increasingly discredited story that President Donald Trump directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about the Trump Tower project in Moscow. But this is not the first time. He was also the source for the 2006 fake news Karl Rove indictment story that came out. Leopold's fake news story, hook, line, and sinker, currently being replicated again almost 13 years later. A publication that carried the antics of Leopold and his gullible Truth Out colleague William Rivers Pitt was Dummy Funnies. Many of the lame excuses for why the Rove indictment never materialized proved to be comedy gold. Yeah, he came out and said that Karl Rove was going to be indicted. Had been indicted, actually. Despite the fact that Truth Out, which struck by Leopold's Rove fantasy for many weeks after it completely collapsed, finally removed this scoop from their publication, it lives on for all eternity in the form of a Democrat underground post. It made on the infamous but hilarious day of May 12, 2006 by William Rivers Pitt. This is what they wrote. Within the last week, Karl Rove told President Bush and Chief of Staff Josh Bolton, as well as a few other high-level administration officials, that he will be indicted in the CIA leak case and will immediately resign his White House job when the special counsel publicly announces the charges against him, according to sources. Yes. Well, these two geniuses went on television now, the BuzzFeed reporters, on CNN's Reliable Sources now, even though they're not reliable sources. That's amazing to me. The irony here is rich. But they go on the show. Take a listen.
Cut Anthony, five. Do you have any new evidence since Thursday night that supports your story?
I have further confirmation that this is right. We're being told to stand our ground. This is our reporting is going to be borne out to be accurate, and we're 100% behind it.
Who is telling you that?
Oh, I'm not going to talk about my sources. I got to be honest.
Sometimes I write stories and I say I have a number of sources. I actually have more than that, but I can't reveal how many I have. Is that what you're saying happened in this case?
You had more than two sources. Do that, but it would. But I think that you say what you say in the story, and you stand by what you say in the story. I would say that something reporters sometimes do is they describe someone as a senior law enforcement official, and they fudge that, and these senior your administration official characterizations can be shady, and then sometimes that identity is revealed and you say, come on. And I just do want to say that in this story, in this case, these are very narrow, very strong descriptors.
Let me just ask about documents like the dossier. Anthony, you said on CNN on Friday that you had not seen the documents you described in the story. Jason Leopold said on MSNBC, we've seen documents. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I can't really get into like the details there, but we're really at this point because of the calls for a leak investigation and the sort of sensitivity around that matter, we really can't go any further at all in order not to jeopardize our sources. We made a commitment to them and we're going to honor that commitment.
You see what's happening here, right? They're circling the walls around their colleagues in the media. Instead of just everybody in the media just dropping, ditching BuzzFeed and saying, you know what, you're not really one of us anyway. Get out of here. Nope, they're all circling the wagons for them, sticking together. The media was so embarrassed by all of this. Fluffy Jeff Toobin, the worst lawyer in America, was on with Brian Stelter, who's perpetually in puberty. Number one here, this is from CNN Friday night. Take a listen.
I'm focused on the media side. Preet's talking about the law enforcement side. But I mean, they're not contradictory. But I just think this is a bad day for us. And you know, there's no, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, Ryan, you seem to disagree a little bit. But I just think, you know, it reinforces every bad stereotype about the news media.
It does reinforce bad stereotypes about the news media. I agree with you. I am desperate as a media reporter to always say to the audience, judge folks individually and judge brands individually. Don't fall for what these politicians out there want you to do. They want you to think we're all crooked. We're not. But BuzzFeed
and neither
now,
is BuzzFeed. I mean,
but
I,
now BuzzFeed, now the see? Onus is on BuzzFeed, right? Yeah. Now the onus is on
bad
BuzzFeed.
Bad day for BuzzFeed.
Ben
bad,
Smith says
bad day.
He knows the identity of the two sources. Obviously, the reporters know the identity of the two sources. They're going to be going back to those two sources and hopefully to other sources to try to get to the bottom of this. Now it's a dispute. And I don't know how that dispute's going to be resolved. I'm not disagreeing with you. This will be used, obviously, against the media as a whole. But I hope that we can see past that and be smarter than that. I hope the president doesn't guide everybody else to use it against the press.
So I have a theory. I want to know if you think there's any substance to my theory here. I think that after this very bad day for the media, and after the president came out with the announcement on Saturday saying he'd be willing to have a 3-year suspension for deportations for the Dreamers, will they work on a legislative compromise? I think the media said, we got to change the narrative. And, oh, look, there's a kid in a MAGA hat and an old Native American guy banging a drum. And they took it and ran with it. I really believe that. They had to change the subject. And I think this story, which has become what everybody's talking about. You know, there's a saying on our station. We're talking about what you're talking about. We try to do what's relevant. This story is being discussed. It is the biggest story right now. Of the Covington Catholic students, the MAGA hats, the Native American, the people who identify as the Black Israelites. It's a major story. But how did it become a major story? It became a major story because somebody took a couple seconds of a kid in a MAGA hat with some guy banging a drum in his face and made it go viral to then say, well, you can't make something go viral, but certainly can try, by saying, this is a racist MAGA hat wearing Trump supporter intimidating an indigenous person who's there for a sacred ceremony, like NBC News did. This is NBC News' report from Saturday night, which I don't even think they've walked back yet. Take a listen.
A troubling scene many are calling racist played out in Washington yesterday on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Some students harassing an older Native American man, a Vietnam vet, in the midst of a special ceremony. Tammy Leitner has more.
Now stop it right there. Now remember something. I think the media was, they had such a bad day on Friday. The special counsel coming out Friday night was the equivalent of dropping a nuclear bomb on the media. It really was. This completely destroyed their credibility. Robert Mueller's office never comments. Ever. The fact that he did this for the first time is amazing, and it completely destroyed a story that they spent so much time on. Think about it. NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, MSNBC ran with this story on Friday. The president's going to be impeached. The president's going to prison. He told Michael Cohen a lie. Mueller has it, and it was wrong. The special counsel completely destroys that story. So what do? Had their worst day. Even Fluffy Toobin says it. Worst day for the media. Well, here's what they do. They take a story of a kid in a MAGA hat and an old Native American guy, and they do what the media does. They spend all their energy on it. And next thing you know, it's a massive viral story. Go ahead, keep going, please.
It was meant to be a time for indigenous people to be seen and heard. But this viral video taken during Friday's rally in Washington has sparked outrage and confusion. appears to show dozens of youths wearing Make America Great Again hats, mocking Native American elder and Vietnam veteran Nathan Phillips, many jeering and others looking on.
There is singing, and I heard them saying, build that wall, build that wall. You know, this is indigenous lands.
Now, earlier was asked, the question that was asked was, why didn't they spend more time investigating and everything like this? And I'm telling you the reason. They didn't want to. They needed something to get you and me and everybody else in America to stop talking about the BuzzFeed story. How do I know I'm right? Martha Raddatz. Martha Raddatz ends an interview with a Republican Senator James Lankford Sunday, as she fills in for unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week. Cut three.
Teenage Trump supporters taunting a Native American veteran at the end of the Indigenous Peoples March here in Washington. Your state has one of the highest Native American populations. What's your message to those teenagers? And has the president created this environment doing things like calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas?
Well, I would say a couple of things about the video. One is obviously that young man standing awkwardly close to someone that doesn't seem natural to be able to have that. I don't see him taunting him. I see him just standing there staring at him. I would say there are a lot of rallies that I've seen.
You don't think that would be intimidating to have that teenager up?
Well, certainly I do. No. Certainly I do. And I wasn't trying to say that. I was saying that is intimidating. You stand awkwardly close to him. But I've seen lots of rallies and events where I've seen individuals yelling and screaming in people's faces and trying to be able to intimidate them. So I've seen a lot worse than that. That is highly disrespectful, not only to a Native American gentleman, but any older gentleman for a teenager to do that. The key issue that I would say is in our culture, for whatever reason, in our current culture, whether it's on social media, whether it's at events, I see people trying to stop hate with more hate.
Now, obviously, Senator Lankford did not see the whole video by the time he was making those comments on Sunday. The media is pushing the narrative. So by the time the Sunday show with Martha Raddatz on ABC News is there, more than enough time for ABC News producers to go and watch the full video. Would you agree, Greg Stocker? Since you are the executive producer of this program and you watch the whole video.
I did. It doesn't take that long. It takes an hour, you know, and any good producer should do that.
Because the video is how long?
It's an hour and 45 minutes.
So it takes at most an hour and 45 minutes.
Yes.
So between Saturday and Sunday morning, they couldn't find a single producer at ABC News who had an hour and 45 minutes to spare.
Yeah, no.
Well, we would watch this video, but they could take hours or hour and 45 minutes. When do you think it's appropriate to ask your girlfriend to marry you? Like to propose? When do you think it's appropriate? Would you say after she stabbed him 13 times or would you do it after 10 times? Dan, I know that you are not engaged, but you have a girlfriend, right?
Yes.
How long have you guys been together?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Are you waiting for her to stab you 13 times? Is that?
She's only stabbed me 8 times.
Only 8
like
times.
Another 5
eight
more.
Times.
That's right.
That's right. A Russian man begged a judge to let his girlfriend go free after she stabbed him 13 times, almost killing him, Dawn. He wanted her to be released so they could get married. According to reports, he proposed to her in court at the sentencing. Yes. So there you go. What? That's called true love right there.
That is weird.
By the way, if she's not the hottest woman on planet Earth, I don't know what other excuse you can give for this.
She's got to be a 12, right?
At least a 12. You know what I mean?
Like, that's right.
That's right.
Crazy hot chick.
Better be a crazy hot chick. Imagine if after that she looks like, I don't know, like...
She's
like go homely. I'm like, really, dude? 13 times and this is... there you go. That's right.
That's right.
See,
my thesis, I think, is a good one here, which is that Martha Raddatz could have watched the video, or somebody at ABC News could have watched the video by the time Sunday morning came around, right?
You would think.
The Sunday morning show with unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos airs live at 9 a.m. on Sunday, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Stupid computer.
Do they? Well, I don't understand, Dawn. Do they not, like, they don't do prep the night before for a show like that?
Well, what this shows you, too, is what sheep they are. They follow each other. So if somebody said it on Friday night, it must be true. And it's basically true, as you always say, right? And so it's that narrative that they all just follow blindly.
But they were pushing the narrative to distract them from the BuzzFeed story.
Yes.
That's my other theory.
Yeah.
We got to get people talking about something else. Oh, look, a kid in a MAGA hat and a guy banging a drum. Perfect. Right? It's like catnip.
Yeah.
to the media and then social media and then, you know,
yes.
It's almost like they planned it. Like they sat around a round table at the Hall of Justice and figured it out. We got to get people talking about something else. Sick a giant 50-foot woman on them.
They should have media sting operations and do that, but put a group of African-American Catholic schoolboys at a private school and then put four crazy like white guys with MAGA hats saying the same exact thing and then a drummer and just see what the news coverage would have been.
And then a drummer.
You need the drum.
Little drummer boy.
But you know what I mean? I just quite wonder if they would have thought it was a big story.
I have a feeling they would have. I think that the fact that the Black Israelites, as they identify themselves, weren't mentioned, they'd probably be mentioned if they were. Bunch of white guys in MAGA hats.
That's right.
Considering that these guys didn't even say anything and they became the part of the story. That's right.
They're trying to be he was trying to be the diamond in silk.
Yeah, somebody said that. Who said that on Twitter? Oh, there was a Diane who said that on Twitter. That's very funny. She said that they want to be the diamond in silk, the opposite, like bizarro diamond in silk, she said. Very funny. Well done. Yes, the Betsy Ross Bridge is closed in both directions due to a large fire in Port Richmond. So to my fellow Jerseyans out there, another reason not to go back to that wretched state.
Stop.
Just go head south. You know what? Use this as a sign from God and just head south. Call your wife or your husband. Say, pack the car. We're out. Can't get home anyway.
That's right.
Thank you. I want that guy on the show.
He's the somebody tweeted out he's the Hank from Larry Sanders show. Hey now.
Everything I say. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Guy's great. Oh man.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we covered a lot of ground today, I think. Are we missing anything?
Poor kids.
And Dawn still hates the chaperone. She's very upset.
Those are low energy chaperones. I'm just saying.
I know.
No matter what.
Dawn is more mad at the chaperones than the Black Israelites.
It's true.
Well, you know,
we're all missing from the story.
You're on a field trip. You might encounter crazy, dangerous people.
Yeah.
But you know, you might.
I
so
agree.
Who's going to protect them?
See?
Field trips. Crazy, dangerous people.
Dawn Stenslin, America's chaperone.
Don't laugh at me. Don't mess with my kids when I'm, you know, we are not laughing at you.
That's true. And I think, by the way, that you should do a chaperone training program.
Yeah.
Be certified like special forces.
Well, I definitely think Covington needs that.
Chaperone school.
Yeah.
The problem is, Dawn, is that they need you down there with your filly because these Kentucky ladies were all too, or chaperones were all too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, too Southern. And you don't even see them in the, like, where are they?
Right. You need some Philly and Jersey chaperones to be like, excuse me? I'll take that drum and shove it right up your Native American you-know-what. That's what you need. Hey, get out of my kid's face or I'm going to take that drum and put it so far up your indigenous ass you're not even going to know what hit you. That's how a Jersey chaperone would have responded, am I right?
And now I wouldn't have chosen that.
Right.
That's
that
right. Exactly.
Those words do not represent how Dawn would have...
But I would
responded
have been like,
in the moment.
Do you hear the 911 operator? I'm on 911. They can hear you.
911.
Oh, I would have had 911 on the phone. Because they know they're being recorded by police 911. And it's child endangerment.
That's right.
We feel threatened.
That's right.
We're here with some crazy men. They're threatening us. They're threatening our children.
That's right.
Then they would have been like, all right, dude, she's crazy. Get away from her. So you got to go crazier than the crazies, and then they'll leave you alone.
You got to out-crazy the crazy is what you got to do in that.
That's right.
That's right. I'm just saying, I think this is what the media does. They go, all right, we got something here. Let's just run with it. And then, like, Wonder Twin Powers activate form of a outraged media story. Yeah. And then it takes over the entire conversation. And then suddenly nobody's talking about the BuzzFeed story anymore.
Yeah.
You notice that?
I do notice it. And doesn't it make you wonder how often this happens and we just don't realize it?
Yeah. It's like they sit there going, how can we distract them today?
Ooh. The media enacted their Super Friends powers.
Exactly. Join us at the Hall of Justice. So earlier in the show, we played you the audio of the 50-foot Hillary Clinton woman on Super Friends Season 2, the all-new Super Friends Hour. And all I can tell you is that she's exactly Hillary Clinton with the laugh and everything, right? from the show.
So,
okay.
Women are the weaker sex.
Now, this is Hillary's laugh. Ready? A 50-foot feminist professor in a pantsuit.
A purple pantsuit.
A purple pantsuit taking over Metropolis. They foresaw that.
Yep.
Very early on.
They did.
By the way, Johnny Cook says that That's Right guy has the same job as Mika.
Oh, no.
It's fantastic.
That's right.
We gotta once the computer's fixed,
yeah.
Then we gotta, you know. I
mean, so much brilliance lost today.
So much brilliance just lost by the, you know.
That's right.
Not that.
I guess it's a good point for us to do this, Greg. Let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Just American at Plank tonight. He says, Dawn should have been there to bang a drum and chant in the chaperone's face. I agree with that.
It's how you defuse the situation, clearly. Yeah, Dawn, you should have been there. I think we've learned a valuable lesson with that, don't you?
See?
That's all right.
Got to protect the children.
Hey, move your drum. Last warning. Take your drum and your little friends. I'm going to shove this peace pipe. Well, there you go. Well, I guess we've learned a lot today in some of this stuff. But then again, we do have this last clip, which we played earlier
That's
in the show.
Right.
But we should probably play it again one more time today. This is Good Morning America, Gaga over Kamala Harris and her 2020 announcement. Take a listen.
If you win,
yes.
You're going to be Commander-in-Chief.
Yes.
What qualifies you to be Commander-in-Chief?
You love this country. You also love your family. And for
I
people
do.
Who do not know, your mother was born in India.
Yes.
Your father was born in Jamaica.
That's
and
right.
they met when they were both involved
right.
in the civil rights movement.
That's right.
California.
That's right.
Berkeley.
She's doing
That's
it. Right. That's right.
That's
right. Oh, look, there's the Blood Harvest Moon. Blood Wolf Moon. There's Nancy Pelosi's moon. Hey, thank you to
right.
Flemington Furs for sponsoring Who Won Twitter. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Racioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.